We made this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was a cold-blooded, premeditated murder.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Red and Buried podcast with me, Sarah.
And Frankie.
Red and Buried, not Dead and Buried, which is what I kept searching on Instagram the other day.
Wow.
I know.
I would say your commitment to the podcast has never been called into question at all. And wow. Do you even follow it?
I do follow it on Instagram. I don't think on Twitter.
Unbelievable. Now, you did follow it on Twitter like a month into the podcast.
Okay. To be fair, it's because I don't use Twitter ever. I literally, the only time I go on Twitter is if something's happened and I want to get the gossip on it.
Yeah,
like no, some sort fair. Of celeb gossip or whatever. Anyway, yes.
Red and buried.
The worst bit is I was only looking up the Instagram account because I realised I hadn't put any of the books I'd read on my Goodreads and I couldn't remember any of the books I'd read. So I had to then look up the podcast account to go back. And yeah.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you, Sarah. It's also in the future, if you need to see what books we've done in the past, you can also visit redandburiedpodcast.com.
Yes.
All of our past books are there listed.
Yes, that is also true. Thank you, Frankie.
You're welcome. And, you know, I was also saying that for the benefit of the listener, but
mostly for me.
mostly for you.
Yes.
Clearly.
I know. So I really enjoyed this month's theme, although I think I've said that every month, to be fair.
We've had a good run, though.
We have. Yeah. And so this month's theme is looking at friendship in a crime book.
Yes.
I'm going to jump right in. I initially, when I was trying to decide what to read for it, I thought I was going to go with a kind of young adult book because they're quite often more focused on friendship as opposed to like marriages and families and stuff.
Because those kids can't get married yet.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yes.
And I haven't read a young adult book in quite a long time and I do quite enjoy some of them, but I didn't go that direction in the end.
Oh,
so.
What? That was a little twist there.
Yes, I realised skimming through Waterstones the other day that a book that I've had on my TBR for quite a long time was a really good shout for this one. So I went with that instead. And then interestingly, when I looked it up on Goodreads today, I saw that you have also read it, Frankie, although a couple of years ago.
Oh, great. Well, I hope I can remember it. What's the book?
So I read The Guest List by Lucy Foley.
Ah, I have read The Guest List. And that is that is rife with friendship.
It is. Yeah. Terrible, toxic friendships. So I guess, spoiler alert, I fucking loved it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It was kind of the first book that I've read in ages where I didn't want to put it down. And I pretty sure I read it in one go. It was a couple of weeks ago now, so I can't quite remember, but I think I did it with no breaks because I was really into it.
Yeah, it is. Lucy Foley writes a really enjoyable, immersive read. Like, you can just get stuck in and just ride the wave.
Yeah, it was interesting because reading up on some of the reviews of it, quite a lot of people were saying that she's kind of, they're like slightly trashier Agatha Christie style books, which I get. So a synopsis of The Guest List, the description from Waterstones, which I'm thinking is from the back cover, but I read it on Kindle, so who knows, is a remote island, an invitation to die for. On an island off the windswept Irish coast, guests gather for the wedding of the year, the marriage of Jules Keegan and Will Slater. Old friends, past grudges, happy families, hidden jealousies, 13 guests, one body. The wedding cake has barely been cut when one of the guests is found dead, and as a storm unleashes its fury on the island, everyone is trapped. All have a secret, all have a motive, one guest won't leave this wedding alive. A gripping, twisty murder mystery thriller.
Oh,
I think that sums it up quite well.
It does. That is like an intriguing and interesting synopsis there.
Yeah, so it's kind of a locked room type mystery, which I also really love.
Yes.
I actually realised I don't think I've read a Lucy Foley book before this, and I thought I had, but when I looked up the book that I was thinking was her, it was one called, I want to say The Chalet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I actually have that. I think you bought that for me and I've not actually gone around to reading it yet.
Oh, interesting. I would read it because that was really good. I don't think quite as good as this was.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like holiday, group of people stranded together.
Yeah, none of those books are really good adverts for going on holidays with your friends, are they?
No, exactly. This one really wasn't.
Don't go to weddings.
No, well, no, A, don't go to weddings. But also, Jesus, the friendships in it were so toxic.
Yes.
And I think it was the main friendship group was this group of guys who went to boys' private boarding school together as kids, which was obviously quite a terrible place in retrospect.
Yeah, well, that's when you hear that, it's not going to necessarily endear you to the characters all that much. You're like, oh, privileged white males, you say.
To be fair, there were very few likable characters in this.
Yes.
I think the only ones that I really liked were, I want to say Hannah was her name. The yes. The plus one, as she's called
the outsider,
in the book.
Yes.
Yeah, and also the sister Olivia.
Yes.
I thought, yeah, very likable and just, oh, I felt so sorry for her.
Definitely.
But the rest of the characters were all pretty terrible people. But it was a really, really good portrayal of, I think, how people can get stuck in these friendship groups from when they were kids and you revert back to that, how you were as a teenager when you get back together with them.
Absolutely. We all, I think, at some point in our lives have had certain friends who were like, why am I still speaking to this person? They're not nice. But it's just almost like habitual. And you kind of, yeah, you fall back into old mindsets and old ways of behaving that you don't even necessarily like anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I don't think I've got any relationships like that.
No, you do. And they're all, I've watched you and I'm joking. But the funny thing is you have loads of friends that you're still very close to some of the people you went to school with.
Yeah, a couple. I'm still very good friends. I mean, one of them I live with.
Yeah, they sure.
Yeah, although to be fair, we didn't become friends until sixth form. I don't know if she hated me, but I was not a fan of her in school years. So maybe that helps.
That's true. That changes the dynamic somewhat.
Yeah. But no, it was a really good read. The relationships, I think, were absolutely fascinating. And actually, it was quite refreshing to read a book that wasn't focused on, like I said, a marriage or a family. It's just, yeah, it's a different dynamic. And I think a lot of the trashy crime thrillers that I read are focused on a marriage or a family, which is great, but it was nice to read something slightly different.
Yes. And also probably more relatable for us, in given the fact that you and I don't really have, we're not saying we don't really have, we definitely don't have children.
Not that we know of.
No, or like, yeah, it's nice to actually be like, oh, these people are kind of like our age. It makes it more relatable in terms of the characters, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually the two marriages that were portrayed in this book were both pretty terrible. So that was fun.
It's always fun, yeah.
Yeah, but no, absolutely fascinating book. Loved the, like I said, the really toxic friendship between these group of guys. But then there was also quite a sweet friendship that blossomed on the island between Hannah and Olivia. I really hope her name was Hannah now that I keep calling her.
I think
her
it was Hannah. I seem to remember that. It's been a while since I read it, but I think it was.
Pretty sure it was. Yeah, so that was quite nice as well. And I hope they stayed friends afterwards.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Nothing brings you together like a murder.
No, exactly. And I thought it had quite a good ending as well, quite a satisfying ending.
Yes.
Now sometimes you read, especially a crime book, and I don't know, I get really annoyed at some of the endings because I'm like, I get why you've done it, but I want everything wrapped up in a tidy bow. I don't want all this ambiguity. And
You are very much a completist, aren't you? You want it all, yeah, neat and tidy at the end.
Yeah, not reading related, but I am a massive fan of Law and Order SVU.
Of course.
Obviously. And there's one episode of it, which the concept, really cool. I get why they did it. I get the point they were making, but it was basically a he said, she said rape case.
Oh, no.
And it goes all the way and you see the aftermath and going to trial and the court case. And you never find out the verdict and you never actually find out what the story was, if she was actually raped, If it, yeah, I think the point was that actually a hell of a lot of rape cases are he said, she said, and you never get that closure and you're never going to know what the actual story was. But honestly, I get angry every time I think about it.
Yeah, because the whole point is...
it's so unsatisfying.
We get enough of that in real life. Yeah. Can we have... oh, man, yeah, that is frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, slight tangent. Yeah, so... great book. I really, really enjoyed it. Highly recommend it. I think I would actually give it 5 tombstones.
Whoa!
I know, it seems really dramatic, but it was just such a fun, entertaining read. It was really well written. I'm definitely going to go and read. I think she's got 2 other books.
Yes, The Hunting Party.
And The Paris and Apartment.
Which has only just come out. So
they're going straight on my TBR. We might have to try and work out a theme around maybe just Lucy Foley.
Right.
Yeah, 5 tombstones. Go and read it. It was amazing.
Yeah, I remember really enjoying it. And I remember as well, I think she paints the picture of the setting really beautifully.
Yes.
And it really adds to the tension of it. And as you say, it's a locked room mystery, but it's not technically in a room. It's on an island and it feels very isolated. And yeah, I remember thinking that she did a really good job.
Yeah.
And because I've read also The Hunting Party, her first book.
Was that as good? Was it better?
I enjoyed it. Again, there was a lot of toxic friendships within that. Okay. So if you want to keep witnessing toxic friendships and really digging into that, then absolutely. It wasn't, in my opinion, I think The Guest List was better,
okay,
but still very enjoyable and worth a look. I think she's, you know, what you're going to get from Lucy Foley, like you said, is just like good, fun, enjoyable, easy crime reading.
Yes,
which is,
and
sometimes you need
several
that.
Twists, which I didn't see coming either, which is always nice as well, because it's
quite
easy. Yeah, especially when all I read really is crime novels, so you do kind of get a little bit, I guess that was going to happen.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did, yeah.
And I'm also glad that we did not choose the same book yet again.
Nailed it.
We're on a bit of a roll. Like, at some point it's got to happen, especially I guess if we choose Lucy Foley as the next theme. That is likely to reduce the odds.
Yeah.
So my book this month, I chose this book because the author has a series, a different book, but a new series that recently came onto Netflix and has been doing really, really well. So I was inspired to look at her back catalogue because I've kept seeing her name everywhere, obviously, while there's been a lot of press for this TV series that's been doing really well. And I found this one and... so I decided to dive in. It's called Little Disasters by Sarah Vaughan.
Oh.
Have you read it?
I haven't. And I also haven't read the one that the Netflix series
Anatomy of a Scandal.
That was the one. I picked it up the other day, actually, and thought I needed to read it, but I haven't. Anyway,
I watched the series and I thought it was pretty solid. I enjoyed it very much. So I wanted to give it a look. And so I'll read you I haven't got a synopsis here. I've got the back of the book because, you know, it's a lot shorter, but I think you get to the point. So, right. A dark, cold Friday night. A night like any other until... do I sound like I'm on CSI SUV?
Absolutely.
Sweet.
That's not a show.
Oh, what is he called?
I mean, either CSI or Law and Order SVU.
Oh, I said SUV. That's utility vehicle.
All about the cars. Yeah.
Well, a lot of crime could be committed. Lots of room for crime. Anyway, back into my dark brooding voice. Hold on. A mother rushes into a busy A&E department with her baby daughter. The on-duty doctor is her best friend. What happens next will change everything. A doctor forced to make a decision. A mother living with the consequences. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
So, and also on the front cover, this is one of the reasons why it jumped out to me. It said, your best friend, your worst nightmare.
Love it.
But that being said, I guess it would be your worst nightmare if you were a junior doctor on duty and your best friend comes in with a baby. So let's just set the scene here. Basically, as we said, there's the lead character is a woman called Liz, and she's a junior doctor, and she's part of, I guess, an NCT group.
Yeah.
When you're having a baby, you go to these groups and make friends with them all. So she's part of an NCT group, and they're all kids are all a bit older now, but they've kept in touch. Anyway, she is on duty, and her friend Jess comes in with her baby daughter, who's very young. And she's like, oh, she's been throwing up. I don't know what's wrong with her. I think she's got a bug or something. I wasn't even going to bring her in. I'm not that worried about it, but my husband insisted. And so they start looking at the child, looking her over. I'm not giving, these aren't big spoilers. This happened right at the beginning of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're looking over the child, and then they notice that actually she's got a very big abrasion on the back of her skull.
Ooh.
And so obviously, the first question you ask is, did you know that your baby's got a giant dent in the back of its head?
Fair question.
I mean, that's how I would word it as well.
Yeah.
Junior doctor. Do you know the baby has a big dent in the back of the head? And she kind of, when they ask her about it, she gets a bit weird. She's like, oh, does she? Oh, I don't know. Weird. And then kind of continues to be very kind of strange about answering it. Says, oh, I don't know, she fell when my back was turned, I don't know what happened. And it's very cagey, instantly very suspicious with it. And obviously the reason why the baby's been throwing up is because of severe concussion. It turns out she's actually got a fractured skull, so
not great
for anyone involved, really. So the friend, obviously, had the doctor who is working with her, is kind of in a bit of a difficult position, because clearly that looks very bad. And so she speaks to one of the seniors. So she's a junior doctor. She speaks to one of the senior attendings, or whatever they're called, the higher ups. She gives him a phone call and just explains the situation. And he's basically like, why are you not just phoning Child Protective Services right now? Because obviously when a child is involved, normal kind of benefit of the doubt really doesn't apply in that situation, especially when it's a back of the head fracture to the skull. And her being very like, oh, did she? Oh, I didn't know that. And being very strange. So
yeah, not ideal.
Not ideal. Doesn't look good for anybody. So after speaking to her superior, she is forced basically to call Child Protective Services, call the police. And it kind of spirals from there, really, with, you know, her husband of the woman with the baby kind of being shocked that she's basically dobbed them in because he has no idea what's going on, kind of thing. He came home and the baby was in the crib had thrown up and was really acting strangely, and he wasn't sure what was going on. And also the friends around them being like, I can't believe that you think she would hurt a kid. What are you doing? And obviously she's just doing her job to safeguard a child as a junior doctor. So she hasn't done anything wrong, really. But obviously the pressure in the kind of local friendships and community is to assume that something's happened, it was an accident, but whatever. So it kind of goes from there, really. It's told from the perspectives of a few different characters. So it's told from the doctor, it's told from the mother herself, and it's told from her husband as well. And so you get a lot of different kind of angles on it, and kind of slowly you piece together what happened to the baby and how they've ended up here. And I would say I actually overall did enjoy it. It found, for me, it was a little bit kind of slow to get to the kind of and it feels crass to say this about an injured baby.
But you're going to go there.
I'm going to go there because I think people know me better by now. Basically, before it gets to like the juicy, interesting stuff, it's a lot of, ooh, you know, hurt feelings, and I don't want to upset anybody, and oh, goodness. Instead of being like, okay, like, what, the baby's got a big old bad problem with its head. What happened here? Get down to the detail. There's also kind of some side narratives that she weaves in about Liz, the doctor, and the relationship with her own mother, who is an alcoholic, and she's really sick. So there's kind of a few bits going on there. I don't necessarily, sometimes I feel like authors weave in other kind of side narratives to make the characters feel richer, as if I completely understand it. But sometimes I'm like, can we not just focus on the big one?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like it's unnecessary to kind of make it too complex and have too many stories going on within one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So one thing I will say, though, once it kind of got closer to the end, it started to get a bit more exciting and a bit more tense and a bit more compelling in that respect. And you kind of think, oh, okay, I get where this is going now. And then right at the end, she did a massive old twisty on it.
Okay.
Which I didn't see coming. And I was so pleased that it was there. As soon as I read it, I was like, yes, this is, I needed this. Thank you. I've been rewarded for the, with okay. this. Okay. So overall, I would say I really did enjoy it. It also kind of within the, it obviously tackles friendship in the relationships she has with Jess, the mother, and how that's kind of called into question over the accusations that are involved. And also, not to spoil too much, but Jess doesn't cope very well with the whole thing and goes a little bit unhinged and starts to do things that she shouldn't do that make her look worse. For example, trying to take the baby from the hospital.
Sure.
Doesn't, again, not going well for you, Jess. Have a think here. it would be my advice as the friend in this scenario. And also the relationships within their NCT group. There are some toxic relationships in there for sure. And I think that comes from a bit like when you, not obviously not between you and I, Sarah, as ex-work colleagues, but when you're thrown into a group of people that you didn't necessarily pick as your friends. You're there to have one thing in common, and that's you're working together or you have a baby and you're all having babies. Thus, you must now be friends.
Doesn't
necessarily mean the personality balance is good or right.
And then years on, you're stuck doing a podcast with them. Yes,
this is my way of subtly trying to hint that you can wrap this baby up. Only joking, of course.
I understand.
Yeah, no. But I think it covers that nicely, that kind of that forced loyalty you have to people that you don't necessarily even like.
Yeah.
You've been thrown together through circumstance and you have to just stick with it, really. And the idea is, the whole point of NCT groups, obviously I don't have a child, but I have many friends that do and go to these groups, and the whole point is it's meant to be a support network. But often my understanding is, and I'm not dobbing anybody in here, but whenever I hear about people talking about their NCT groups, they all sound, well, not all, mostly sound quite judgmental and bitchy and a bit kind of, oh, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. It just feels like some element of it is a bit like competitive within it, I suppose.
Competitive mothering.
Yes, competitive mothering. Also like competitive in terms of the child's progress. Like, oh, well, my child's already doing this. Like, I would just lie and be like, well, my child's already like going off to college or whatever. just to throw a spanner in. But yeah, so it covered that really nicely. It also covered other relationships. So it turns out that her husband, of the one whose baby's injured, knew one of the other women in the NCT group. They went to university together, and they have a close relationship. Obviously, the relationship between family as well is heavily covered. And yeah, so overall, I did enjoy it. Maybe I would have enjoyed it more, perhaps, if I... enjoyed is probably the wrong word as well here. Because I was going to say, if I had a kid, maybe I'd enjoy reading about a child getting badly injured. That's not...
Obviously.
Who wouldn't love that? No. Clearly, what it is, maybe I'd find it more relatable if I... I can understand the idea of a child getting hurt and you being blamed for it would be absolutely horrifying. So I can, the tension was very much palpable within that. But yeah, I think maybe it was a solid book. I would have liked a bit more kind of action earlier on, but I think it was still paced pretty well. And I was really grateful for that twist at the end because it was a lot of fun. And I didn't see it coming, as you say, which is so rare. Often when you read a lot of crime books, you kind of pick up on the same things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't hear. And also there's one of the kids in it so this woman, Jess, whose baby is injured, she has two other boys and one of them's called Frankie. So...
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So that was nice. It's always nice to see your name in print for something that isn't bad that you've done. So yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. I would give it, I'm going to go with 3 tombstones. It's solid. It's solid.
Decent.
And, you know, Sarah Vaughan is clearly doing great things right now and doing incredibly well. And I have no doubt it's thoroughly deserved. So I enjoyed it. And if you want to, you know, if you want a lighthearted read about a baby getting hurt, then crack on. I think this is the one for you. And I just also want to point out, I'm not laughing at babies getting hurt. I'm laughing at my crass response to it. So yeah,
no judgment, you're fine.
No, I know you don't judge me, but the internet, likes to judge people, doesn't it?
Screw the internet. Who needs them?
Well, we do, to put this podcast out.
Oh, I suppose so. It does. It sounds like a kind of decent, entertaining read.
Yes. And in the same way that I found, obviously, I didn't read Anatomy of a Scandal, but when I watched it on Netflix, I enjoyed it very much. Also, could have something to do with the fact that the cast is so good looking.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, okay. My God. Sienna Miller. She is looking good. 40 years old, absolutely banging. And Rupert Friend, who I've always had a bit of a crush on.
Yeah, always been very handsome, hasn't he?
He's very handsome. And yeah, no, it's a good cast. It's got, is it Michelle Dockery from Downton? Yeah, she's good.
It's all very enjoyable.
I think I got through it in a day or two, classic binge. So
yeah. Oh, I love a binge watch.
Yes. There were some moments in it, and I did enjoy it overall. I'm just saying, I found it a little bit odd. There were moments in, I guess, for dramatic effect, and to really, really hammer home just how dramatic this effect is. They would do a bit where, so say, basically, it's not a spoiler to say he gets accused of rape, the politician.
Yeah.
And suddenly, as he's accused of rape, he gets physically pulled back in slow motion through the air. And I guess it's to show that he's being like hit hard with this shocking news. And there are a few moments like that. And it kind of just took me out of it a little bit. Cause I was like,
did you have a little laugh?
I did have a little laugh. I was like, was he hit with like a football that I didn't see? Or suddenly pounding the stomach and he flew back? Was he shot? Oh no, it's just dramatic effect.
So. Yeah, okay. I think I'll probably watch that sooner rather than later.
Well, I'd be interested to hear what you think when you do. Mm.
Definitely. I'll need to fit it in around reading all of Lucy Foley's books. But,
you know. Well, she's only got two, so.
Yeah, well, three.
Well,
two
you've read more. It, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of adaptations for the screen.
Flawless.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It was bound to happen at some point. Sarah, do you want to say what the theme of next month will be?
Yes. So next month's theme is actually once suggested by Shah, my non-toxic friend from school.
Long-suffering friend and housemate. Yes,
very, very long-suffering, absolutely. So her suggestion was that we do a book that's been adapted into a screen version, basically. So TV series, film, the possibilities are... No, they're not.
I was dying to hear when you were going to go with that. would radio count?
Yes, I think radio could count.
Okay, there you go. So there's three options.
Yeah, not audiobook.
No, that's not the same.
No, that could just be any book at all.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's a really good one because it's so many. There are so many good ones out there.
There are, and Shah actually bought me one that works for this as part of my birthday present this year, which I've been saving until we did this theme. So I'm quite looking forward to reading it. I'm looking at it right this second.
Oh man, because I bought one recently that's being adapted and I'm like, oh, what if it's the same one now?
I hope it's not.
Risky business.
Yeah, we'll find out in about 4 weeks' time.
Oh, I don't know if I can wait till then. We also will have another, before 4 weeks' time, we're going to have another little fun interview coming.
Yes, so excited.
Can't wait for that. So again, we'll keep it as a surprise, but coming very, very soon. So watch out for that. And I also, can I plug a little guest spot that I did recently?
Yes, plug your guest spot. I'm yet to hear this, by the way, because I've been away last week. So that's something to look forward to as well.
It only just came out on Sunday. So your time.
Oh, I thought it came out during the week.
No, you're all good. So I was recently very kindly given a little guest spot on a special episode of the No Book Club podcast, which is all about Yellow Jackets, the TV series.
Such a good show.
It's such a good show. It's on Sky/Now TV. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it because it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Matt, lovely Matt from the show, kindly let me come on to talk about the best character on the entire show, hands down, Misty Quigley.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say that I get really over the top obsessed with her in it. I wax lyrical about how much I love her, how perfect she is. Then I get very deep into cannibalism, psychopathy, and serial killers. All my favorite things, Sarah.
I know. I appreciate this is not the theme of this podcast, but no. She's an amazing character, but I know the one thing that absolutely ruins it for me, and I cannot get past, is the fact that she like stole medicine from old people who
Oh,
need it. Like, it makes me
whatever.
sad every time I think about it.
Oh, well, I mean, aren't you a good person? Or
Yes,
whatever.
clearly better than Missy Quigley.
Clearly better than me, because that didn't bother me in the slightest.
Sure.
But yeah, okay, fine. But the whole, oh, I mean, listen to the episode, because we talk about the fact that she's a complex character.
To put it mildly, yeah.
Yeah, she's not necessarily a good person. But I don't think she necessarily professes to be either. But
No.
if you want to give it a listen, it's on the No Book Club podcast. So go check it out if you like. If you can stand to hear any more of my voice, then please go and give it a listen, and give those guys a little review and a rating as well, because they're great.
Yes.
Lovely. Well, that was really fun, Sarah. Thank you.
So, okay. Thank you, Frankie.
Wow, what a lovely, kind ending to this episode. We all got a bit hysterical. It's great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we'll be back soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Yes. Have lovely months.
And if you have any other ideas for themes, we are all ears. Please do tell us. Our email address is redandberrypodcast@gmail.com. Or you can tell us on, unlike Sarah, you can find our social channels at redandberrypodcast on all the social networks. And feel free to shame Sarah in the process, like I've just done.
Oh my God, I
How are you going to defend yourself?
was hoping something would come to me if I started the sentence and it hasn't, so
Well, on that note,
yep, it's been great.
thanks everyone. See you soon.
Bye.
Elsewhere, and we made this. A dream given form. A Babylon 5 podcast.
The isolationism is talked about a lot in the episode with this entire, but Londo's isolation is so heartbreaking to watch. Their final scene of dialogue together between Londo and Jakar is. It's so powerful when Jakar says, "I can't forgive this entire, but I can forgive you." And that music, as Londo touches Jakar's arm and leaves, gives me goosebumps. It's so beautifully done.
I'm not going to lie, that I kind of welled up when Jakar forgave him. It really does get me. But yeah, it's a very sad story, and but that's what makes Londo's journey such a captivating journey to watch throughout the five seasons.
Free with this month's issue.
This is Skin Lab and Dissolve.
Yep.
That f***ing riff, man.
What a track.
So good.
I love that lyric as well. I'm disappointed that he didn't write it himself.
Did he not?
No.
Which one?
It's Not What They Call, It's What You Answer To is a W.C. Fields quote. I've just looked it up.
Oh, I quite like that even more now.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say it was a WCW quote.
Yeah. Oh, Sting coming out. Yeah. Bit of that Eric Bischoff in the middle of the ring. Yeah, let's re-record it. And Ian, if you could just say that, that'd
Yeah,
be fantastic.
sure.
But no, I love this. It's definitely Machine Head influenced, isn't it? I mean, they're from San Francisco, so which isn't a million miles away from the Bay Area, of course.
There's a bit of Far Beyond Driven era Pantera in there as well, particularly with the deep low voice in the
Oh, yeah.
verses.
Geek Polymath.
So, what is it about RuPaul's Drag Race that particularly appeals to you over everything else that you could possibly like in geek culture?
It's impossible to narrow it down to one thing, because it's literally everything about it is everything that I like. So you've got legitimate competition, because 9 times out of 10, the loser is the one who does the worst. So one of the problems with reality TV is that they keep the controversial people in and they send home the boring people. That's something that happens around it, and it becomes quite disappointing.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network.